Hello and welcome to another episode of the SEC Cricket Hour with myself, Billy Roan, Alfie Taylor, Nick Brown. How are we doing, boys?
Yeah, brilliant, Bill. Just another rain-delayed weekend. Just a compulsory indoor net is all I've had this week. So the average is secure and, just content with not playing Brownie. Much cricket, to be honest.
Yeah, good. Thanks, Bill. Another rain-hit week, as like Alf said, at Chelmsford. But, very good.
Look like you got a few runs in the net, though, Brownie. I see that beard's gone.
Yeah, sorry, boys. I had to shave it. I was looking like Billy Bob Thornton from Bad Santa. So it was getting a bit long and grey.
I had the cutthroat. I had it all sharpened up, mate.
I know, mate. But I'm sorry that I've lost that bet. But it was... it weren't worth the arguments, to be honest with you, Bill.
Fair play, mate. Well, listen, you better get 100 this week.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Special episode today as we have our first international cricketer on the show. Well, he's basically the first guest we've had outside of Essex. 67 test matches, 20 ODIs, 2 T20 internationals, 241 international wickets. Brownie, this stat's for you. 27 maximums. In there, we have got Australia and Essex, Pete Siddle. Sids, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very well, boys. Very excited to be on. Brownie's spoken a lot about you lads, so nice to join.
Not too much, because I'm guessing that's why you're on.
Thanks for coming on, Sids.
About the cricket.
Now, listen, mate, basically... Like we said, this podcast is nothing too serious, mate. It's not like the Test Match Special podcast. It's pretty relaxed. We're going to get Alfie to fire a few questions at you. Just have a general chit-chat, mate. All good?
Happy with that. Sounds good, boys.
Go on, mate, Alf.
Before I start, Bill, you mentioned something about Dan Lawrence and Sid's clobber.
Yeah, mate.
Talk us through it. What did he say?
I cut Dan's hair the other day and he's walked in with the old Kif t-shirt. I've gone, where you got that t-shirt from, mate? Because I've known Dan since he was a baby, mate, and he hasn't got a clue when it comes to fashion. So he said, oh, mate, Sid's is bang on it. He likes his clobber. He's got a bit of style. So I thought, I'll have a look on your Instagram. I've just seen your picture with old Ronnie Figg, mate. So tell me a bit about that. Like you like your clobber, you like your style?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think I always have. I think Dan's always got some hand-me-downs over the years when I've been here, so I've always chucked him a few gears over the time. But, yeah, I think some people obviously know who Ronnie is. A lot of people don't. But I reckon out of all the people that I've met, he's up there with one of the most famous and interesting I've met. So, yeah, literally 2 years ago came over for a stint with Essex. It was the same weekend that he opened his little pop-up in Selfridges. So
yeah,
went on the next day, happened to be looking at some gear, and I thought, geez, I think that's him. Yeah. And there he was there for the launch of his new store in Selfridges. So yeah, got the chat for him for 10 minutes. So pretty interesting day.
Brownie, you know who he is, mate.
is this fashion you're talking about now?
Oh, listen, mate, we'll quickly elaborate. So he's a New Yorker. Started his own sort of, I suppose you call it like a brand, really, called Kif. And he basically does collaborations with Adidas, ASICS, pretty much everyone, really. So, Sids, like, talk me through, like, the Essex sort of changing room, the Australian changing room. Who's got a bit of style in the locker? Brownie?
Probably doesn't. He opens the batting on the weekends, but I'm not so sure he's opening the batting in the clobber stakes.
12ers.
I don't mind Adam Wheater, the keeper. Like he's pretty quiet, but he likes talking about ears and looking quite nice. So
he gets them cheaper as well, doesn't he?
Get it up.
Then Wheater gets them a bit cheaper. Oh, baby guy.
Yeah, he does. He can still buy the kids' clothes. So he can get everything that we want, but at half the price. So I think he benefits from that.
Sids, if you had to dress Brownie, because like we know Brownie, he don't really care too much when he goes out. How would you shape him up? Like, what sort of cut jeans are we going for him? Just to, I don't know, like just to get him in the mix a bit. And we'll be losing the ASICS trainers.
I think before we even worry about the clothes, we might have to go to Advanced Hair or something like that and get him a fresh do. But nah, surprisingly, I did bag Brownie. When he actually does get dressed up and we go out for a feed or a drink, he's actually one of the better dressed. So he shapes up right.
Yeah. Thanks, Sid. I appreciate that. All I get on this show is abuse about what I wear. So hey, I'm happy with that. Thanks, buddy.
Anyone who wears grey and nickel spikes, there's no chance that they're any good off the pitch.
Yeah, but they're freebies from Alistair. So, you know, when
they're free,
Brownie's not saying no to anything the Sir gives him. So he puts it on.
What about in the Australian dressing room, Sid? Who's got it there?
None of them really. The fast bowlers tend to not have much of an idea. So they probably luck out. Probably Steve Smith, just for the sheer fact that he's got all the money in the world, so he can buy what he wants and it just makes it decent. So,
can't buy style, though, mate. Can't buy style.
It definitely makes him look a little bit better anyway. So it's definitely worked for him.
Go on, Bill.
No, I was just going to say, in my experience of Aussies when they come over here, when it comes to style, they all just try and look as stupid as they can. We had a fella come over, he went a couple of years ago, Alf, wasn't it? He come over to, he was playing club cricket in England, and he literally looked like he'd had his hair cut at the farm. Yeah, he looked like Wurzel Gummidge. Yeah, he had his barnet, he looked like it'd be too big for me, like triple XL, all his clothes. It looked like been a charity shop. And you got people like Zampa. I've seen clips of him. He's wearing like some sort of 90s cocktail t-shirt or cocktail shirt with Australian training shorts. It's just like whoever can look the most stupid as possible.
100%. Zamps is all about the vintage. He'll go to the vintage. It'll cost him $2 to get a nice, like, nice spring-baked shirt, and then he'll be good to go.
Didn't Zampa actually choose to live in Shoreditch over here because he just wanted to be closer to the rare units, didn't he? He just wanted to feel at home.
100%. I think the first time he came over, he stayed somewhere else, wasn't quite happy. And the next time he's like, yep, staying in Shoreditch, right near Brick Lane. He could go shopping for clothes every day at the vintage stores, get his coffee, and he was happy man. So that's what
we were going to say, Sids, actually. What have you ever been lucky enough to taste one of Zampa's coffees?
Yeah, he got me into the coffee. So Zamps's little love cafe, as he likes to call it, always brewing up something for the boys. And, so had plenty of coffees off Zamps, pretty much where I got my love for coffee.
Sid, you're a big coffee man.
Yeah, I am now. I think Zamps rubbed off on me.
What's the Zampa coffee of choice? What's he like, a long black?
Nah, he's straight up to filtered coffee. So we're talking like, AeroPress, or we're talking V60 pour overs, like fancy, proper, fruity, delicious, delicious flavored coffee. So he's serious.
I'm a bang on sort of espresso, Italian espresso machine, that power, getting it through the beans, nice thick crema on top.
Mate. When Sid makes his coffee, it takes him a good 10, 15 minutes to do it. It's high end. It's like the Champions League of coffee.
Sids, have you ever made a siphon brew?
I haven't. I've seen them done, but I haven't made one myself, no.
That was my lockdown venture after watching Zampa in the test documentary or whatever. I thought, I'm having a bit of this, and got the siphon. It's it's half hour out of your day. And it tastes exactly the same as yours probably does.
Exactly. It's all about the process and having fun. I guess at the end of the day, they all taste the same, but you need to pass the time somehow, especially in the changing room.
No, you're right. Sid, one thing we don't know, actually, have you ever played club cricket in England?
I haven't. Pretty much all my cricket in England has been either international or first class. So,
did you ever have the option
through club cricket?
Did you ever have the opportunity to play in England or somewhere else, club cricket-wise, or you just played in Melbourne?
Pretty much, Melbourne. I hadn't played much first-class cricket by the time I played for Australia, so I started pretty young, so didn't really get to truly experience an English club season, which
which you're doing now.
Slightly disappointing, yeah. Doing a bit of it now, but okay.
Essex are as close to a club side as you probably get. Isn't that right, Brownie?
It is, yeah.
And if you play at Derby, that's the closest you'll get to a fucking club ground as well.
I don't even want to go there and play club cricket. That's how well Derby's going. I don't think anyone wants to go there.
Was Derby the guys you played last week?
Yeah.
Cheeky six for there, Sids. Cheeky six for.
Oh, no, that was the week before. I didn't play against the club side, but...
So I was going to say, were you rested or did you refuse to play there?
No, we didn't go there, which was good. So it was at home. Touch. I was happy to play that. I got the rest up.
Didn't know you didn't play any club cricket over here. Let's just fire in straight to the Ashes or touring England. Obviously, you've had a couple of... How many tours have you had over here?
I had four.
Four tours. Across how many, what's that, 10 years or so?
2009, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2009 first one and then 2019 last one. So most of them are pretty shit until the last one. So
I was going to say, what are your best memories from the initial ones? Because obviously on the field, I guess there's not going to be a heap, but just touring with the boys, nights out, that sort of stuff. What are your best memories from the first tours?
I think this is pretty boring, but the best thing for an Aussie coming over here, obviously in Australia, everything's about flying and you fly from city to city. But actually, when we get to experience this with Essex boys, we've got our own team bus. So with the Aussies, traveling around on the team bus with the boys going from sort of city to city, that's actually like, it feels like you're at school again on the bus, but it's a lot of fun. So I think that's one of the big highlights. Getting the tour of England, sitting with the boys talking shit. I think if my first Ashes series, it's got my first fifer in Leeds.
Rowdy crowd there as well.
It was the only match we won on that series, so it was a rowdy crowd. We won, which was good, so we stuck it up them. And then obviously Leeds is a lovely night out, so we thought we'd go and celebrate and. Being an Aussie, we ended up at the walkabout and we celebrated at a walkabout. So how exciting was that? It's
love it.
A great night. But I think taking my fifer in the Ashes is probably one of the biggest highlights, especially early on.
When you said that you spent obviously a lot of time on the bus, what's the go-to? Are you guys playing cards? Are there people listening to tunes? Are there like breakaway groups where you do separate things? What part of it were you? Were you a card player or?
And what's the hierarchy as well? Who sits at the back?
Nah, so it's pretty much, you sit where you want.
There's no hierarchy. There's no the usually experienced pros.
Fast bowlers up the back on the other bus. On our Essex bus, it's the cards boys up the back in our bus. So we have the blokes playing cards. Brownie's one of those, one of the card sharks in the group. But anything. On the Aussies, Shane Watson used to play the guitar and sing to us. The singing was shit, but his guitar play was good. Cards, talking shit, sleeping, playing PlayStation, a little bit of everything. I think a bit of Brownie now. Brownie does it all. He sings to plays the PlayStation and plays cards all at the same time. So
triple threat.
He's a big hit on the bus, Brownie. Just quickly, mate, going back to the bus. Now, on that documentary, The Test, we saw a little clip of, I think it must have been the first test match where the bus was pulling out. And I'm a bit embarrassed to say these England fans, the old fucking sandpaper bits and whatever. There's a little clip of the Australians, of the Australian boys, just going, oh, they're so childish, aren't they? Yeah, look at what they're doing. What did you actually really say?
No, I loved it. I'd love just stirring them up as well.
Exactly. That's what I know, though. Because on the clip, it was all like Steve Smith, oh my God, look at them. They're so childish. And I mean, come on, let's have it right. You didn't fucking say that, did you?
No.
Give it an old diss.
That's what I was going to say. That's the best thing, especially because we're playing at Edgbaston and it's a short drive back into town. So you have all the pissed fans leaving, walking back into town. So the bus has to go past everyone down that main street. And in the crowd, you see them all, their sandpaper. You got the blokes going, they're running beside the bus. And you just try to have a bit of banter with them. It's a lot more fun, a lot more enjoyable.
But I can imagine you. I can imagine you doing that. Yeah, but I can imagine people like
Matthew Wade.
Yeah, Wade. I bet he loses it, doesn't he?
He does. He's an aggro man. He's a
he's a very angry little man, isn't he?
If you needed someone to go out there and start dusting one of them up, he's the man to go. He's a little animal. Yeah,
can he handle himself? Can he?
And he's an angry man. So yeah, he was straight to let's go. I'll bloody beat him up rather than having. it's all a part of touring England. I think that's cool that makes fun having the banter with the crowd.
Yeah, Sids, in that documentary, how funny was it? Have you've obviously watched it back? But my favourite bit on the in the whole doco was when Justin Langer smashes up the bin, and the bin then falls over, and he's got to then pick up all the rubbish out of the bin. That is one of the funniest bits on TV I've ever seen.
I think that stuff's funny because you sort of just after a while, it actually like people go, "Was it weird having camera crew and all this around you?" There was actually only one guy filming it. So after, like, he'd been with us by the time the Ashes had been, he'd been with us for about 12 months. So he just became one of the boys. So you didn't actually see him as a dude filming. And, yeah, like, whereas at the start you probably hid things that you didn't want to do around him in case he caught you, by the end of it, people had just forgotten that he was there. So you get the do see funny things like that. And I think especially JL, how we see him, he's so serious, taking everything so serious and strict. Yeah, to see something like that just making him laugh and then having to, you know, get caught having to pick up the bin and clean up after himself after cracking the shit. So
he's done a good job clearing up though, mate. He's done a good job.
Actually, Sids, during that test, what was – and it was obviously difficult when Lyon fumbled that ball or where, at the end of it. Was that one of the better test matches you've ever played in, just in terms of – just the result and how it unfolded? Because we were there on day
one. He didn't play. Did you play, Sid?
No. It was great. You can't hold me accountable. I was
brilliant.
Carrying. Yeah.
I did a very good job carrying the drinks, so I did everything I could.
Sid was on the camera.
he told Langer, you missed one, mate. It's just one down the
stairs. I went and got the mop and said, mate, just clean up that floor.
Yeah.
Nah, in all seriousness, now you look back on that, and that being there and witnessing that innings that Stokes played, that's you probably in the rest of my lifetime and our lifetime, we're probably not going to see an innings like that. Like it was just unbelievable. Obviously, at the time, I thought, you know, we were flat. It's the worst thing in the world, and we didn't want to discuss it. But you look back on that series now, and how it all played out, but how well he played in that game. That's we're not going to see anything like it. It's amazing to be able to bat like that with a tail ender and then, you know, finish
Brownie.
It.
Brownie, how do you feel about that? Never going to see it again. Plays in the same team as you, Brownie.
Well, not for me. But...
What do you reckon, Bill? Brownie's got it in him, hasn't he?
Definitely, mate. Yeah, 100%. Like,
Bill, you don't I reckon definitely when that. You say definitely.
No, I can see it now. I can see you switch it in, mate. And we did mention at the start of the podcast, Siddle's got he's got 27 sixes, mate. You've got 12. I reckon you put it in the locker, mate. Have you ever played a switch it, Brownie?
I can play a reverse sweep sometimes.
A switch it.
I can't switch it. No.
You know what's going to happen this week? Mags, the Essex coach, is going to be fuming. Brownie's going to get out in the first over of the match. He's going to try and switch it Rushworth down the third.
Blame us clowns. Yeah. Are you playing Durham, are you, this week?
Yeah.
Durham.
Rushworth in the new ball, Brownie. a bit of pressure on you now. Now we said you've got to get 100 for shaving that beard off.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Mark Woods of England, isn't he?
Yeah, good luck switching it in. Sids, going back to the Ashes, another great memory that we've had over here at probably 1 a.m. or whenever it was your hat trick. Billy's actually taken a hat trick, so he's the only other person on this podcast. Who's taken a hat trick. So we just want to know what goes through your head on the hat trick ball, because me and Billy have dreamt of it, but you guys have lived it.
Well, no, I've done it, Alf and I. So it's more you two.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what goes through your head, Sids, on the hat-trick ball, 50,000 fans, Gabba, Stuart Broad on... Was it Stuart Broad on track?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God, you couldn't write it, could you? And the send off, the send off he would have got. Did he get a send off?
No, well, bloody DRS is the worst thing in the world.
That's right.
So the sort commentary. Of ruined, I remember it ruined that. The initial moment, but it does mean I got to celebrate it twice. So I can't complain too much. But I think all I was worried about, I was just shitting myself. I'm just thinking, just hit the pitch. Like, hit the pitch. And then at the end of the day, I didn't even hit the pitch. Did he spit on the full? As much as I laugh about it, it definitely wasn't the ball I tried bowling, but it turned out to be the perfect ball anyway in the end.
Best feeling on the cricket pitch?
Sorry?
Best feeling on the cricket pitch, that?
I think so.
Ashes test match, 31, 50,000.
And I'd been out for 9 months with a stress fracture in my back, so it was my first test back. So all in all, as an individual thing, it's one of the best.
On your birthday as well, Sips.
Birthday, 26. Yeah. Long time ago now. But, I think just amazing to do it, especially the first test. Get our good mate Brownie Sir Alistair first up, which was always nice, which we always joke about. But yeah, amazing. Definitely as an individual achievement throughout my career, that's definitely number one.
You got him out a few times, didn't you, Sids, the chef?
Yeah, I did, but I bowled first change. So if I was getting him out, it meant that he was already on a few runs. So I think he made a lot more runs against me than I actually got him out. But it was always good battle, always a good player to bowl against.
He got a few runs in the second innings, didn't he?
Yeah, second innings, only the first innings in that test match.
Where else are we here? That's another thing, Sids. The MCG, Matt Prior. You've probably been asked this a million times.
It was the whacker.
Was it the whacker? How close were you to actually going into the car park with him? Or did he actually want you to meet you?
He asked me for a little catch up in the car park after the day's play.
What did you say to him, sir? Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, so we always had a bit of banter against, like, I don't know, I think it was just both hotheads and just always, you know, had a crack at each other. And I'd come around the wicket, I was buying him a few bounces, and he was sort of I was getting into him, and so he was getting fired up, and then get him out, give him a spray, this nice little send off. I didn't actually say too much to him, but just, you know, like, probably get started, go back to the change room, have a shower, mate, and just freshen up. Anyway, so we're going nuts. We're in the huddle. We're all going crazy. And Punter tells us all to shut up, behave, like, just sort of settle us down. While he's telling us to settle down, Matty's still going back at me, still going. So after all this, Punter's told us to be quiet. Punter spins around and says, "You've got to get through me before you get a chance at him." Car park. Brilliant. So good bit of banter, and then so I think that would have been test 4 or something, and then literally 2 weeks after the test series, him and I suited up in a T20 for Victoria together. So it went full circle in a couple of weeks, which was weird.
Did you boys like catch up after the last test anyway, or like you must have went into the same change rooms and spoke anyway, or even after that test, I guess?
Yeah, we actually got along. We're pretty similar people in a way. We got along quite well. But I think it's just one of those things. You have good banter on the field, tough contest. Everyone wants to win. Just obviously it gets a bit exciting at times. And maybe one day we might have to reminisce and actually get in the car park and see how we go.
What's that like, the Wacker car park? A good place to have a little scrap, Sid?
Yeah, it's pretty good for a little underground bare knuckle fight.
Oh, nice, nice fight club.
Yeah, there's a bit of fight club. It's a bit old school, so they play at the new stadium now, so that'd be pretty good there. But the old stadium's a bit rough, so true old school.
You wouldn't want to go a few rounds. It's fucking hot there. you want to get him in early, Bill?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, yeah. You want to get a 12-round fighter there, mate. You want to go Deontay Wilder early knockout.
You can't have
mate.
The long game.
That's not going well there.
Early on points.
Brownie, have you ever been offered out on a cricket pitch?
Can't say I have, no.
Can't imagine you giving it back too much either.
No, I'm pretty nice.
No one wants to fight Tyson Fury, do they? Have a look at
that. Actually, since talking about being a hothead, I googled your name and it came up that you bowled two beamers at someone. Is that true? Is there a lot? Can you talk us through it? Because I didn't really read too much into it. I just saw two beamers and I thought, brilliant. Love that.
But it wasn't exciting. It was it was in a T20 game. I'm meant to be an okay fast bowler, so this is going to sound bad, but yeah, I was trying to bowl some Yorkers in the last over of a T20 game.
So they weren't actually.
They're nothing scary. So I just bowled two. I think it was the Dhoni. In a Champions League T20 game. So. Yeah, two bounces at his head.
Yeah,
I got fined. I got suspended. I got fined for it and everything. But
you got fined for it.
Yeah, you got fined. Yeah, I got a level one for illegal bowling or something like that. But it didn't matter too much. I got man of the match, so it covered the fine anyway.
Yeah. So you were around the team, or you may not have been playing, but you must have been around the team when. The nickname Fig Jam came up for KP. If you had to rename someone in this day and age with the same nickname, who would it be and why? It can be anyone in the world.
Anyone in world cricket.
Anyone in world cricket. You can pick someone in Essex if you want as well.
Yeah, Branny.
Plenty of Essex. If I had to pick any international, I'll go Kieran Pollard.
I can't stand that geezer.
Exactly.
he has nicked millions and millions of dollars for being a bang fucking average cricketer.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
The recent IPL says it all. He hasn't done a thing, and then then he just bangs out an 80 off 20 balls and he's the hero again for another 4 years. So
that's what I'm saying. I don't know, obviously you haven't listened to this podcast, but I'm not a big fan of the IPL. I just don't get that. Like, how is he still nicking a contract? Like you said, he'll have a day out. I call T20 players, they have a day out one in 25, yeah? But like you said, he has a day out every 4 years. He still keeps nicking contracts. Like, sort that out.
Do you know what? I reckon a lot of it is to do with how far you hit the ball as well. I reckon the further you hit the ball, the longer you get to stay in the team. Failing.
Listen, in India, you can hit the ball 100 metres or you can hit 55 metres. It's still six, isn't it, in them grounds? You know what I mean?
Brownie, a couple of one bounce fours there.
you're saying Brownie hasn't got long left. You talked about his sixes before and he hasn't got many.
Which is.
So Kieran Pollard's the new Fig Jam. Yeah. And anyone at Essex?
No,
you can't really
say. Who we got, Brownie? Who could be our Fig Jam?
Are they all quite humble, Brownie?
Yeah, they're all quite humble, I think.
What about Andre Nell?
I'm angry.
he's just chilling.
I can't really think of anyone. Oh. But going back to KP Sid's playing against him, Would it be someone that you go, right, we're going to sledge him, or would you go, do you know what, let's leave him alone?
No, the captain used to go, just Sid's warm up, I'm going to bring you on and we'll get him out. So,
yeah.
That was the game plan.
That was the game plan. So it was all pretty simple when he came out. But it was. He obviously loved the battle. He loved the hype. He was an angry South African. As we know what the South Africans are like, they get crazy. And but in saying that, he was an unbelievable player, wasn't he? I think he had plenty of good innings for England. And now I don't have to play against him. He was quite exciting to watch.
So who is the best batsman you've bowled at then, Sid? Or what's the best innings you've seen, been on the same pitch as?
The best I probably bowled. I got, obviously, Sachin was at the back end of his career. He's still good, but I don't... Yeah. AB de Villiers. AB de Villiers is probably nearly the best batsman I played at the peak of his powers, or even Sangakkara. They're probably the two that, when I was playing, were right at their best. And, they're probably the two hardest that I played against.
That Sangakkara's cover drive, Brownie.
Can only dream, it's lovely. Thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah!
Calm down, of Brownie. Course. Calm down, Brownie.
who gave the best chat on the circuit, Sids? Who did you play against who just would not shut up? The most amount of abuse.
The most amount of abuse I've copped is off Jimmy Anderson.
Oh, yeah, good point.
The problem is you can't understand it.
Yeah, but...
That accent, and is he, can't understand it.
He's just a bit grumpy, though. Then is he just not moaning at himself? Like, he's just so miserable, Jimmy, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he's always moaning. But it works because he ends up getting us all out. So it doesn't matter at the end of the day. But
yeah,
Jimmy always had plenty to say to me, but that was wasted on me because he'd get me out every second ball. So there's no point worrying about talking to me.
Who said break the arm? Who was it who said break the arm? Was it Michael Clark said it, but then who was bowling?
No, Mitchell Johnson was bowling. Yeah, Michael Clark was in slip, I think, said it. Yeah, because he was having a go at George Bailey.
Yeah, George Bailey at short leg, wasn't he?
Bat Pat had the helmet on, calling him ugly and stuff like that, which bit rich coming from Jimmy. Like, George ain't a bad looking bloke.
Quite a good looking either, Jimmy.
But listen, yeah, that's what I mean. Both are, but they don't think one's uglier than the other. So I think Jimmy was just, just a bit angry that day.
If I was Michael Clark, though, and I had Mitchell Johnson up my sleeve, you would not shut me up, mate. You would not shut me up. I'm a chirpy little fucker anyway, yeah? But you would not shut me up. Every ball, mate. If I had him up my sleeve.
Correct.
100%.
I mean,
did make
how, fast
feel...
how fast did he bowl, Sids?
Too fast. Yeah, I think anyone that bowls that fast when they're at their best, you don't want to be facing. And especially that series was ridiculous. I don't think he bowled, or anyone that I've played with has bowled as fast as he was that series. That was unbelievable. I think the English blokes say the same thing.
We heard a chat from all the England players who played in that series that it was just another level. We've seen quick bowling before, especially in Australia, but they just said that was another level. There was panic in the changing room, apparently.
I shit myself back here. It was 2 a.m. I just had 4 coffees. I shit myself.
That was too quick.
What about... In comparison to that Archer's couple of overs at Lord's, I suppose it's a different kind of pace, isn't it? Because like Johnson, you can just see it from his run-up. Or, I don't know, he didn't have the quickest run-up in the world, but he locked and loaded, whereas Archer's sort of a bit more of a taller, sort of zippier bowler, isn't it? So I don't
come
know,
out of really, nowhere.
Does it look as fast or?
It doesn't feel as fast. Like, obviously, I face Mitch at times in the nets and sometimes feisty. It's obviously not as fast as he's bowling in the middle. But Archer, I think you get to see it okay. And to be fair, I don't know why he didn't try and hit me in the head as well when he knocked Smith out. And then I came out and he bowled me a half volley. I would have been trying to hit myself in the head.
So you were the coolest person in that changing room, mate.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think I was shitting myself and most nervous. I didn't want to do a thing.
You did give it away. You didn't have much faith who was batting at there because you had the fucking lid on, the arm guard, the gloves on. You were ready to go, mate.
I was ready to go. I wanted to get out there.
He was waiting for Matt Prior.
That's
still waiting.
I don't know why he didn't try and hit me in the head, but thankfully he didn't because he is fast. He's definitely him and Rabada are probably the two quickest I've had to face in Test cricket. But Mitch was just different level.
How many red balls did Lovershane have when he got pinned? Because I've never seen anyone get up as fast, mate.
Mate, he's not.
He hit the deck and his eyes were buzzing. He was
ready to go. He bounced up and was off to go. It would have been funny if the first concussion sub actually got concussed and subbed out as well. Would have been hilarious. Yeah.
He was buzzing, mate. No way he's getting concussion, mate. Them expressos and their red balls yet. He was buzzing the boy.
He was. First actually series, get a chance, I'm gonna make the most of it. And he jumped up. He was all about it. And I think Archer was definitely the people that we've had to face, he's definitely up there with one of the quickest.
Sids, how many Test fifers did you get? Roughly,
I don't even know. 8, 9, maybe.
Would you give away half of them for a Test ton?
100%.
Great question.
how close did you get?
Nah, I got 50 twice. This is how sad this is going to sound. So I got 50 twice, and I did it in the same Test match. I did it in a Test match in India. I got 50, I think 50 and 51 in the second innings. I top scored in both innings.
Good player of spin.
Yeah, well, I didn't think I was, but I got away with a few in that game. But yeah,
did you have a hack, Seth?
I did. I was 50 off 140 in the first innings, and I got 51 off 38 balls in the second.
Oh, I love that.
Beautiful.
Just mixed it up. But no, I've only made one century in first class cricket, so I would have loved to have made a test one.
Well, who did you make the first one against, or the last one? The
only I made
one?
Against Scotland.
Against Australia, Scotland?
Scotland, yeah, so not bad.
In very Scotland?
International side, yeah, in Scotland, on a beautiful country ground that had no stands and looked like a club ground, so fitted in nicely with you boys.
Do you get stuck into the whiskey afterwards? Sid?
No, it was that long ago. I can't even remember. That's how sad that is. I don't think I made many runs since.
One question that's been burning on this podcast, for me anyway, I don't know whether these boys are going to care too much, but what was it like rocking up to work every day knowing that you got to see Pat Cummins' eyes?
Is that before he put the contact lenses in or after?
There you go.
He's not one of those, is he?
There you go.
He's not. That's what we always spoke about. But it's either I've been pretty lucky, haven't I? I've got to look into Paddy Cummins' eyes. I've got to rock up at Essex and play with Sir Alistair. And I've got to look at that beautiful guy that's on the screen with us here, that beautiful head, and rock up and play cricket alongside Tyson Fury every week.
Yes. Sid. Thank you, Sid. Oh,
Sid, if you had to build
great interview. Cheers, Sid. Let's leave it on that.
Sid, Barry's going again, Brownie.
If you have to build the perfect cricketer, then so you got to go lid, eyes, rig. And that'll do it. So we're going Paddy Cummins' eyes.
Hold on. Well, we're going perfect cricket or the perfect sexual partner.
So here, Al. The same thing, mate.
Give you a moment. Give you a moment now, shall we?
No, they're going to look totally different. I'm happy to go the nice looking figure. I'm happy to go with that one.
Well, so what? You going with yourself?
No chance. No. I don't get none of me gets in this. But I'm going Paddy Cummins' head. We'll go Paddy Cummins' head. Not bad hair, but he's good looking features. We'll go Sean Marsh's body.
The bison.
Nah, Sean.
Oh no, that's his brother. Yeah.
Bison. Sean Marsh looks beautiful with his shirt off. So we'll go Sean Marsh there. We'll go Brett Lee's bum because we need to bowl fast, so we need to be big and strong. And we'll go Nick Brown's pins.
Nice. Cheers.
Pins, Brownie, have you?
Have I? Varicose veins everywhere.
I don't get to see your pins in your bootcut jeans, mate.
Sids, another scenario, right? Essex need one wicket to win. All the bowlers are down. I don't know, there's a new pandemic or something. It's got them all. And the only two bowlers are left are Brownie and the Chef. You need one wicket to win and you've got one over left. Who are you throwing the ball to and why?
Ugh.
And I'm not just saying this because he's on the show with us here, guys, but
where's the Chef?
I'd have to say Nick Brown. I've seen Sir Alistair's bloody one test wicket and it was an absolute shocker and not deserved. But I've seen Brownie's leg spinners. Yeah. And they're actually quite skillful. He can land them. He's going to at least hit the stumps. I don't think Chef can hit the stumps. I'm sticking fat with Brownie.
Nice. Cheers, Sadiq.
You've had a good response here, Brownie.
Yeah, I've done all right. Yeah,
your legs have got in. You're gentlemen.
You're banging 9 for 100, mate, on a Saturday now.
I'll tell you what, Sid.
Yeah, go on.
Sorry, Alf. Like, Ricky Ponting must have been one of my heroes growing up to watch play. But to play with him, what was that like? Obviously a gun player, but we hear about his leadership a lot, don't we? So talk us through that. Like what you said there with Matt Prior and him being the first one to go back at him, it sort of epitomises him a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think, yeah, growing up as a young kid, watching Ricky play and then become captain. It was just someone that you idolise and you just admire watching him go about it, how tough he was. And, I was lucky that, when I debuted, he presented me with my cap. So that's pretty special. being able to do that. And then we both supported the Kangaroos in Aussie rules back home. So in my early stages, when you're nervous about being around a side, to have someone like that, just wanted to, you know, sit down, have a beer and watch the footy with you. Pretty amazing to sit next to one of your idols and be able to do that. So, yeah, amazing to play alongside him. But
what
yeah,
a legend.
The way he just things like that I did say about that prize story, that he was always there. He'd do anything first, and I think that's just the way that he went about his cricket. That showed how well he did over his journey.
Was there anyone, Sids, that you were surprised by when you first went into that Australian side? Because you know, like, you don't necessarily know the blokes, like, that you thought they'd be like one way and they were another, like whether they were just really nice and just showed off this really hard personality. Was there anyone who really shocked you when you first went into the side?
Probably Punter. I think just because, like, obviously, yeah, who he was and being a young bloke coming in, I think that was probably the most nerve-wracking, yeah, meeting him and a few of the other old guys. But, yeah, definitely him. But, then we had that connection with the footy, and just at the end of the day, he's just another guy. I just wanted to sit back, have a beer, watch the Aussie rules when we weren't worrying about cricket and just, you know, just chill out. So I think he was the big one, because in Australia, you know, the test captain's known as the, you know, it's the second hardest job after the PM, they always talk about. He's a big deal. And I was just some young pleb just coming in to carry drinks pretty much. And here I am having beers, watching the footy with the great man.
Sids, where'd you keep your baggy green now?
Now?
Yeah, where'd you keep it?
Just sitting at home in its bag, in a cupboard. Pretty, yeah, not very
exciting. Not on display, no?
Nah. Pretty low.
What about the beaded choker you wore in the 2009 Ashes, mate? Where'd you keep that?
Nah, I was shattered. I remember I was laying down getting some physio one time on the bench and it snapped.
No.
I never end up getting another one. So I might have to have a look. You reckon I'll be able to find one up in Durham?
We'll get you one. They're in fashion up north, I think, then.
Yeah, we can get you one, Sids.
Give it a run this week. Bring it back.
That's iconic, that choker, wasn't it, Bill?
It was, mate. I'll tell you what, I don't think no one wore the upturned collar better than you, mate, or maybe Ponting. But you did like the upturned collar, mate. I thought you wore it well.
Yeah, I did. Sun smart, mate, just looking after the back of the
head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, I thought it looked cool, but... It looked pretty good when I had the necklace on and the collar up and the little goatee.
The
salt
patch.
Chick.
Yeah, had it all going.
Actually, Sid, you off the back of the last Big Bash, you bleached your hair, didn't you? Was that this Big Bash just gone?
Yeah, the Big Bash just gone.
Talk us through that one. Whose idea was that? It looked good because Jimmy Anderson did it a couple of years ago. He looked pretty sort of Draco Malfoy, Harry Potter-esque, but I'd say you pulled it off better than him, to be honest.
Oh, there's a win. That's about the only time I've had a win against Jimmy, so that's a good start. I think I was in lockdown, the first one over in Oz, and I was like, oh, let's just give it a go. I used to do it when I was young, when I was like 17, 18. It cost me about $5 when I was that age, and usually turned out yellow. Looked a bit like Bill's jacket there.
Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, I thought I'd have a crack at it. Did it a few times. But the hair was getting a bit rough, actually. It's not feeling great now either. So I think if I kept going, I was gonna end up like Brownie. So I thought I'd better get back to net row.
Hang on, Bill, hang on. Why have you got a hat on? Are you trying to
mate, listen, I have just gone from work, and today I started pretty early. I had to have my vaccine today, so I had to get into the shop early, get me work done, so I didn't have time to do it. But
there's a bit of sun out, is there? Yeah, there it is. There it is. There's a forehead there. Look.
Can you just pull it all back? It's a little
I look like Dracula, mate, if I do that. If I pull it too hard, it'll come off.
You actually look like one of Brownie and I have a teammate that has the same hairdo as that, and his name's Tom Wesley, our captain. He's got a
hairdo. Do you know what? He I did his hair actually a couple of months ago, and he actually said he called me Joey from Friends. He had the old hand twin. He said we were lid twins, mate. we had the same air going on, but I'm going to slip the hat back on.
Because cover it back up.
To do my hair, it's like, have you ever seen the film American Hustle? It's a bit of a start where he picks one bit of hair up, he puts the hair piece in, sprays it down, puts the slaps that on, a bit of tactical combing, good to go.
Terry Nutkin's so, film. You're going to like Terry Nutkin's.
I didn't have a chance. Yeah, I fucking will do. I didn't have a chance, mate. I didn't have a chance to do me hair.
Right, Sid's another one here. You're stranded on a desert island and you can have three luxury items, two teammates and one song on repeat. Who and what are you choosing?
Three luxury items.
Yeah, they can be whatever you want. They don't even have to be luxury, just three items. You can be as rogue as you want.
Oh, so if I'm on a deserted island, I would have had to have got to the deserted island somehow. So one of the luxury items is going to be a big yacht.
Nice.
Yeah, he's done this question before, Alf.
He's played this game, hasn't he?
I'm not going to rock up to an island just randomly, am I? So yeah, I'm going to get up there somehow.
Well, in that case, you've got to have the beaded choker as a
Well, I thought I was a surfer boy when I had the choker. So we'll go back. I'll have the necklace on again. I'll have my big yacht. And I'll have
some bananas.
Yeah, well, I'm on a deserted island.
There's a banana tree there, Brownie.
There's got to be bananas.
Tropical.
There.
There's probably a banana tree there. So
okay. Give you that. Coffee machine.
Yeah, need a coffee machine. Coffee machine on the yacht.
Perfect. Yeah, nice.
Necklace.
Need Adam Zampa as well.
No, don't need him. I'm all over the coffee now. So if we need two people.
Yeah, two ideally cricketers.
Ideally cricketers.
Well, you can have one cricketer and one non-cricketer if you want.
Right, you probably want to take a female, surely.
I'm gonna go, Sir Alistair.
Who's that, Sid?
I'll go, Sir Alistair.
Yeah,
he can come. It'd be good fun.
He can cultivate some crops as well.
Right, he'll be able to look after. That's what I need him for. He can look after the island.
He can farm it. Yeah.
And then we need a female. You said, didn't we, Bill?
Well, no, I mean, I'm just going on my way of thinking.
Deserted island. We need to recreate, don't we? So
you've probably got a bevy of beauties on that yacht, mate. So I think you've got all bases covered with that yacht.
But no, if we have to go someone famous, I'm saying I'm going. Who do I want? I want Tom Brady.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's good for the beach, actually, chucking a few balls around the beach.
Right, he's got something to do, you know. He's got a good arm, so he can give Cookie some throwdowns. throw the gridiron around.
And you got one song.
He can drag the beauties off the yacht.
Mate, he can take down some coconuts as well off the tree.
Yeah, well, I think he said he's only coming if he can bring his wife. So I'm happy for Giselle to be there too.
Nice.
And when Brady goes missing,
hey, he's found loopholes all over this. Hey,
the yacht sunk with Tom Brady on it.
It's gone.
And Sid, what song are you choosing then? It's on repeat as well, so you've got to be careful with this one.
I'm going to now. There's a song. I'm not even going to name it. But I'm going to ask my fellow Essex Eagle to sing it. What's your song, Brownie?
No, I can't sing it.
Come on, Brownie.
Come on, Brownie.
One call away, Brownie.
One call away, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not give us a little bit of it.
Give us a little bit.
Just so we can get the beat of it.
Okay. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. There you go, boys.
Yes, Brownie.
needs to be that's a mix as well. It needs to be Brownie singing it.
Yeah, you're not repeating, Steve.
That means Brownie, because Brownie has to come and sing the song. So Brownie can be on. That's the loophole again. Brownie can be on the Brownie. Island Stick live.
He can wear the choker, yeah, and he can be singing One Call Away.
Brady's missus will love that a cappella, wouldn't she, Brownie?
Yeah, they'll get a game. They'll get a new game, won't it?
Sids, if you weren't a cricketer, what would you be?
I'd probably be digging trenches for some for a plumber, I reckon. But I don't know. I think I was sort of looking at doing primary or high school teaching when I came out of school. But yeah, cricket got in the way, and thankfully it did, because I don't think I'd be a great teacher.
what about a bit of commentary now, Sids? Do you get any gigs or?
No, maybe on the radio. You see, it's probably not made for TV, but I might do a bit on radio. But nah, I think I love cricket too much. I'll probably try and stay in the game. I reckon do a bit of coaching, and we'll see what happens. Give me some excuse to keep coming over to Essex. I'll try and wrangle a job over here so I can keep coming over.
Yeah, that'd be it'd be good to have you living over here as well. Sids, at this point of the podcast, we've got questions from a couple of the listeners. Just pick them at random every week, and we just do our best to answer them. The first one's from Mark, and he goes, "Hey guys, what are your thoughts on bugging the opposition's change rooms to see what sort of chat they're giving you? What do you think you're likely to hear? Cheers." This is not something I've really thought of before, to be honest.
No.
I don't reckon. If you did bug it, I don't think it'd be information you want getting out anyway for the change of banter. They usually gets thrown around. But our it'd be good to bug our one. Our one would be good listening, I reckon.
It'd be a very good listen, yeah.
Who's got a lot to say? Who's interesting in your dressing room?
Oh, like Wesley doesn't stop talking, does he?
Yeah.
Or abusing people. So
Porter would have lots of dumb, funny stuff. Paulie
Walter. We've heard all that before.
Yeah. Paulie Walter has probably got some dumb, funny stuff as well that'll come across. So, I reckon that'd be actually good to do to some side one day.
Fucking interesting, wouldn't it?
That should be a podcast. Just not even tell anyone. Drop a mic in a change room and just see what you get.
Bill, what do you reckon you would have heard or said back in the day that might have been caught on audio?
I wouldn't like to broadcast it, mate, to be honest. I don't know. I think, like as I said before, I'm all right when I get out. I'm pretty calm when I get out. And I'm quite a nice bloke on the pitch, so I don't think anyone would say anything too bad about me.
No, but they might pick up on the hairline or something like that. They don't have to necessarily not like
it. Well, they'd be right, wouldn't they, really? Let's have it right. I mean, if they could give me a few tips, tell me where to go in Turkey for my hair transplant, mate, I'd be happy to listen to it.
Send Brownie the link.
Now, Brownie, you look good, mate. I think you look good with a skinhead. See, I think you've got a good-shaped head.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
It does. It took us 2 years to tell him to shave. once he did, it actually, I reckon it suits him. It definitely looks good.
And that light.
It took a while.
That light's really well
placed. I'll tell you what, Brian, a little bit of a confession here, actually. If you bugged the Chingford changer, and we did have a pop at your Bobby Charlton or your Jack Charlton.
Oh, yeah.
Over the years, mate, when we played against you, we have had a little pop at the old... which is quite harsh, because you are the nicest bloke going, Bradley. I don't know why we're picking on you, but
because he's got 250 against us, and you got to dig
him out. Probably, yeah, probably. Yeah, and he's done me with his googly as well.
See, that's why I'm having Poland for the last over.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah. Straight breaks. Marks, I think we've answered your question. I reckon if you're thinking about doing it, definitely do it and send us if you want to go through it and edit it, send it through, because I ain't listening to fucking 7 hours of nothing. Someone complain about how shit the umpire is.
Yeah.
You'd hear a lot of that, wouldn't you? That was a fucking shit decision.
Loads.
Yeah. Loads of bad decisions. Yeah. Probably whinging about the misses.
Yeah.
Whinging about how to get out of not going home to the missus and have a drink that night.
Yeah. Actually, do you know
that's 95% of it, I reckon.
Yeah. And probably,
how do I explain to the missus? How do I get out of it?
And then the other one would be some shit tips that your mate's given you on the punt. That'd probably be the
That's why you're a mate's with punter as well. Surely he must have given you some good tips on the horse. He's a dog man, is he, or a horses man?
He's got lots of dogs and horses and stuff. But no, he'd never give them out because he owned them. He never really tipped on them, so he just backed that they were going to be good.
What's his wine like, Sid? Yeah, has he sent you a case over?
Nah, I don't drink, so no good for me. Oh, so he didn't send me. He sent all the other boys some. He could at least sent me some. I could have got the drink of. But
it's a few easy Christmas presents there.
100%. I think he did that. He did that over Christmas time. Sent it to all the boys. There you go, lads. Merry Christmas. Get out there and promote it for me. Thanks.
The next question, we've got Simon from Twitter. He goes, with clubhouses reopening, what's the best way to celebrate our wins and losses and get the whole club together this weekend? Obviously, last weekend was pretty much a washout for most clubs. Clubhouses are open. You're allowed six people on a table. What do we think, boys? What are we doing? Get the club together, karaoke.
Beer pong, mate.
Just a knockout beer pong. Six people per table, knockout beer pong, down to the final table.
Love a bit of beer pong, mate. Love a bit of beer pong.
Yeah, solved. Yeah. Get on it, mate. And just hopefully they've had no losses. Don't want no celebrating the losses.
Nah.
Losers can go home. The winners can stay and play beer pong.
I come up one evening. I don't play anymore, Sid. I retired 8 years ago or something, right? So I come up to watch the boys play at Chingford. And again, after the game, bit of beer pong was going on. I was losing, mate. It was obviously loser stays on, and I must have been on there about 10 games. I was so pissed, mate. We play on the pool table, yeah? So we put a wooden board on the pool table, use that as a table. I was so pissed, mate. I used the fucking cue ball. Right.
You play a 10-pin bowl and knock over.
I still missed, though, mate. That's the thing. I still missed all the cups. I think I hit the person I was playing against.
Sounds like you definitely won.
Sid, how do you go at beer pong then? Because if you're playing and you're not boozing, surely you're just really good the whole time. Whereas someone like Brownie would get to two pints in, he's at optimum level, and then obviously it just falls off a cliff after that.
No, because Brownie's the ultimate boozer, he's always on the money. So he's the perfect partner when you're playing beer pong. You want Brownie on your side, but no, I've got a shit. I'm terrible.
Really? No good.
I'm the worst partner because my partner has to drink twice. So, no good.
It's always Brownie, isn't it?
Yeah. No, he's a nominator. He nominates people. It's good.
I get the nominate who I want the skull and drink. And yeah. I can usually get anyone that's getting hammered, I can just double them up.
Have you been out in Chelmsford yet, Sid? Are you living in Chelmsford at the moment?
Yeah, I'm living in Brownie's good mate Swampy Patini's flat. So
yeah, good joint that.
Good joint. Locked up. Going well. No, we haven't been out, especially this time around, but over the years we've been out and had a bit of fun.
Been to the cave, yeah.
haven't been to the cave. I haven't actually been to too many places, to be fair, but we're well behaved at Essex. We just keep it low key.
It's a good restaurant.
Low profile.
Simon, I think that's it. Like the losses, you're going home, mate. So if you lose,
yeah, nah, you can't do that, mate.
What about if he's lost and he's scored a ton or took a fiver? You got to go back, haven't you?
Well, I think when you lose, you're in the changing room, and we've said all along, like sometimes the best times when you're in the changing room, you're having a debrief, you're picking the bones of why you lost. Yeah, you have a few jugs in there. I think a lot of good things.
Just listen to the debrief
in club cricket. No need to debrief.
Of course you do, mate. Of course you do. No, mate. I don't know if you're familiar with the level
we play. Pay for all the beer. The winners don't have to pay. Easy done. Sold.
No, I don't know if you're familiar with the level we played at since. Yeah. Proper. We had the coach, mate. We had a whiteboard in there, mate.
Kick in the bins.
Perfect.
Yeah, Simon, so basically, yeah, you got to win. Get the whole club together, play some beer pong. Yeah, winner stays, or loser stays on.
Loser stays on, mate.
Yeah. Oh, like Billy's idea, yeah, loser stays on and see how mangled you can get them.
Learn the hard way. Learn the hard way.
If in doubt, use the cue ball.
That's it, mate.
You boys are playing. You boys are playing tomorrow, right? Where are you guys off to?
We travel to Durham tomorrow for a 4-day game. Got two more 4-day games in this little block, and then it's a T20. So big couple of games for us, and hopefully we can get a couple of wins. Yeah, finish in the top two.
Are you missing Dyack?
No, Dan though. Yeah.
Yeah, Dan's joined up with England, so wish him well. And hopefully his little training camp before the tests go well and he gets a nod.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, we wish you boys all the best this week at Durham. At least you don't have to face Mark Wood.
Although
I prefer to face him than Rushworth, to be honest, because your pad's getting blown off, Brownie. Sid, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Sid. Top man.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Yeah, hopefully we actually get to catch up and have a beer throughout the season, because we've 100%. Definitely had enough of doing this over the video camera anyway. So, yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
Cheers, Sid. Top man.
Enjoy all the... Go well. And Brownie, I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, mate.
Nice one, gents. Cheers.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers, boys.